The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning. Tune in to the numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, Sirius XM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland.
Heyo.
Alongside, what's happening?
Not much, man. How you doing?
It's a weird morning. Something we're going to talk about here momentarily makes it a weird morning.
Yeah.
But we have tennis to get to here early on. We have some guests as well. Paul Carr on soccer. We will do that here momentarily as well. Greg Peterson. What a booking by you. Greg Hoops Peterson on Major League Baseball. All day Major League Baseball. By the way, the Mariners did not start out July nicely. A 3-run loss to the Royals. 0-1 out of the gate.
Yeah. Come on, Cal Raleigh. Step it up.
Yeah. Supposed to be an MVP that people around here think they're going to vote on.
Two homers a night. Come on. This is what we expect.
He's not winning MVP, by the way. I'll just say that again.
As long as he can bust up the Aaron Judge triple crown for me, that would be appreciated.
So much to get to here. We'll talk AFC West as well.
AFC West today,
as we continue division by division, just some thoughts and bets that have been triggered by just some football analysis this offseason for Kelly and myself. Tennis today, so day one of Wimbledon, choppy, kind of a wash, if you add the match that carried over from Monday, that is. And then yesterday, not good, the Ofer yesterday. But the reason that I keep going is because, as I said, my winnowing has not been good. My filtration system on getting these leans down to the ones I actually play. So the leans let me know that I'm okay here. We have six plays in tennis today. Six of them. One of them has started, and that's the big dog of the day, Lloyd Harris, the South African, is taking on Andre Rublev, perennial top 10 in the world. Lloyd Harris plus 261, and right now in the first set, Harris was up a break. I'm not sure if he got broken back. He did get broken back. So we're on serve in the first set. Rublev and Harris, that's the one that has started. The others today, Jordan Thompson. Jordan Thompson plus 154. Jordan Thompson is taking on Benjamin Bonzi. Bonzi is the guy who beat Medvedev. So a couple of these are fading guys off upset. So Jordan Thompson, good grass court player, really good grass court player, plus 154 against Benjamin Bonzi coming up. Ethan Quinn against Kamille Majerczak on the men's side. Ethan Quinn's a minus 128 favorite. These are, again, beeson.com/picks for subscribers. These were all put in yesterday. Christian Garin plus 136 versus Artur Rinderknecht. Rinderknecht was the guy who beat Sasha Zverev yesterday. So fading him off that with Garin at plus 136. Those are on the men's side. So Thompson, Quinn, and Garin are the three plays that have yet to start. Harris is the one in action. And then on the ladies' side today, the veteran Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova, which Kelly loves spelling.
Pavlyuchenkova.
Yeah, Pavlyuchenkova minus 122 against Ashlyn Kruger. And then going back to the well with our girl Katerina Siniakova, this time against Naomi Osaka. This one the price might be drifting. We didn't get the best of this number either when I put him in yesterday at VSiN.com/picks or what Bill 80 did for me. But Siniakova to beat Naomi Osaka today in a Wimbledon, in a first 2 days, a first round of Wimbledon that has been historic. That has absolutely been historic. First time two of the three top ladies seeds have been ousted in the first round, namely Coco Gauff, the number 2 seed, and Jessie Pegula, the number 3 seed. They are dunzo from Wimbledon. Coco losing yesterday to Diana Yastremska. And by the way, if you listen to the Beating the Book podcast, while mainstream media is going nuts over this, none of this is really shocking to tennis hardos. Gauff only played one grass court match prior to Wimbledon. She was making the transition, as so many of folks were, from clay, but she only got one tune-up. She lost that to Wang Jinyu, and now she loses to Yastremska in straights. Pegula obviously lost the day before. They're out in a span of 9 hours. It's the first women's major in the open era, as I mentioned, where two of the top three seeds lost their opening match, but it's also the first Wimbledon where eight top 10 seeds, men's and women's, gone in the first round. Four on the men's side of the top 10, four on the ladies' side of the top 10.
It's wild.
And by the way, in those cases, namely Gauff, Pegula, Zhang Xinwen, who we faded to success, Paula Badosa on the ladies' side. That's the 2, 3, 5, and 10 seeds. And on the men's side, Sasha Zverev, the third seed. The seventh seed, Lorenzo Musetti, who lost to Basilashvili. That was awful. And then Holger Rune, the eighth, and Medvedev, the ninth. Gone. 2 days. That's it.
It's crazy. I mean, you do it every year, but I thought you did a great job this year, and we had the discussion leading into the tournament of just, hey, if you're betting tennis, like, Wimbledon can get a little crazy. The grass can get a little crazy.
Grass is nuts. And like I said, it's like playing golf on ice. Listen, if you had a golf tournament on ice all of a sudden in the middle of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Bit of an exaggeration, but you know what I mean there.
Yeah, there's the expression putting on glass and the greens are really fast. But like, I mean, it's kind of comparable to the, you know, like the U.S. Open carnage, right? It's just it becomes very difficult to handicap for different reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see if we can get those home today in tennis. The other thing is, before we launch into all the sports handicapping, we would. It's not really a subject I love talking about because it's not about in the weeds handicapping on any of our favorite sports, trying to make money. But it is something that I think my head would be in the sand if I didn't mention it.
The public needs to be aware of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
The big, beautiful bill is up for vote in the House today. Donald Trump's big, beautiful bill. Well, that word beautiful is subject to interpretation. Gamblers not thinking it's beautiful. This is from our buddy Captain Jack, the commissioner of sports betting. The hits just keep on coming. The big, beautiful bill proposes that gambling losses be capped at 90% of winnings, even for professionals. If you file the way the IRS intends, you declare gross winnings and deduct losses. This means even losing gamblers would owe money on their gambling. We do the other Captain Jack, which is, the last 2 days as a professional gambler have been my worst since the unlawful internet gaming, I want to get the acronym correct here. I always mess this up. The unlawful internet, the Internet Gambling Enforcement Act of 2006, the UIGEA, Unlawful Internet Gambling Enforcement Act of 2006, was snuck into the Safe Ports Act in 2006. We used to be considered self-employed small business owners. Now we're being treated as criminal second-class citizens. Mm-hmm. Disgusting, angry emoji. By the way, what he's referring to, the UIGEA in 2006, that's when Republican Congressman Bill Frist attached that as pork to an unrelated bill and rammed it through Congress. This feels very similar in the nature. This is a add-on to the big, beautiful bill, and again, voted on by the House today. And I hate doing math on the show, but it's good to give a math example here. Poker player Phil Galfond did a great job of this on Twitter yesterday. I'll give one of his examples and I'll add on one. But he said, but basically, let's take a normal how it has been, right? You win $100,000 in a year, you lose $100,000. It's a wash. You don't get taxed on it, right? That's how it's been.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. With this 90% provision, if you win, and this will start in 2026. If you win $100,000 and you lose $100,000, you can only deduct 90% on those losses, right? So you'll owe, even though you didn't win any money, $100,000 up, $100,000 down, you'll owe tax on $10,000 of phantom income because you can only deduct the $90,000. So you would owe tax on, pardon me, on $10,000 of phantom income. I'll take it one step further from that example given by Phil Galfond, which is, let's say, Kelly, you win $100,000 in a year, but you lose, I don't know, $105,000.
Yeah.
So let's say you lose $5,000.
So I've lost more than I've won in the year.
Okay, so you lose $5,000 in a year. You will actually owe taxes. Let me do the quick math on this. $105,000, knock off $10,500. You'd actually pay taxes as if you've won $5,500, if I'm doing the math correctly, even though you actually lost $5,000. So if you take it, and again, Galfond and Captain Jack did a great job of this, which is, let's say you're a big-time pro bettor, right? Let's say you are, that is your profession, you are a professional bettor, and let's say you're up in the stratosphere. Okay, one of the examples that Galfond used, and this is, the higher this gets, the more you will be able to see it. Let's say a pro earns $200,000 a year wagering. They might have $3 million in winnings. They might have $2.8 million in losses. Mm-hmm. In that example, yes, you made $200,000, but you would be taxed as if you earned $480,000. Take it one step further. The higher it gets, as I said, the more stark it becomes. Let's say you have 5.2 million in winnings. This is an example that Galfond gave, but you lost 5 million. So you netted 200,000 that way. You won 5.2, you lost 5 million. Instead of getting taxed on your $200,000 earn, you would get taxed. Once again, 90% of the 5 million of your losses is 4.5 million. You'd get taxed as if you earned 700,000, right? Because it would be a right, because that's the math on that. Instead of being able to deduct the entire 500,000, you didn't win 200 by the tax code that is suggested here. You would have won a phantom additional 500K. So you see, for a sports, for a professional sports bettor, this becomes a non-starter. The math just doesn't work. And so while it is called the Big Beautiful Bill, it is not beautiful to bettors. And then you hear sort of the, you know, we don't know who attached this as pork. One can only speculate. What's the name of Mitch and Pauly show? Follow the Money. Some people saying, hey, look, Donald Trump Jr. is a special advisor to Kalshi, which is a prediction market. Prediction markets are not subject to this tax code because it's not considered in the same category of gambling. So I don't know. Interesting day for gamblers, to say the least. And by interesting, I mean not good, perhaps.
This affects a lot, too. I'm really interested to hear what Bill and Steve Fezzik have to say about this over the next couple days, because this is, I think, some of the things that the three of us like to play, like video poker and stuff. It becomes very affected by this when you're getting the W-2Gs that are printed out when you hit hand pays. It becomes a lot more difficult to write off your losses, like we talked about.
Will Hill on Actual Sports on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, never forget our website, VSIN.com. If you want to bet smarter, start with smarter insights on the website. Right now, you can check out our NFL betting guide out yesterday in full bloom. Greg Peterson's MLB Best Bets, we'll try to bring that to life a little later on the show. Wes Reynolds' John Deere Classic Picks, and Zach Cohen's NBA Transaction Recap. A lot to recap there. And later today, you can check out Jonathan Davis's NHL Transaction Recap, Josh Applebaum's MLB Best Bets. Right now, you can sign up for full Visa Pro access until the Super Bowl for only $175. Head to VSIN.com/subscribe to sign up today. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Sean Engel, who I believe is at Wimbledon right now. He says he's at, he says, Jensen Brooksby looking right at home at the All England Lawn Tennis and Croquet Club. Fun match this. As you might expect, Joao Fonseca's fans are a lot more raucous than Jensen's. Look at him, courtside.
No, Jensen Brooksby.
Oh, look at you. Look at you, no. Sean Engel. Nicely done. I love that we get tweets from everywhere around the world. People are at all these tournaments. It's great. Hans Gruber. Love hearing John Legesa with Gil and Kelly on a numbers game. I think Texas could be a team from nowhere that gets hot and wins it all. DeGrom, Eovaldi, couple others, bullpen good. If, a big if, their hitters can improve, they could win it all. On paper, they have a lineup that should be good. I'm also a little worried, Hans, about a little bit of DeGrom's underlying numbers. A diminishing K rate, a slightly elevated walk rate. It's a little bit of concern on that. And this one's for you, Kelly. I'll cede this one to you. This is Mike P., who said, is the Nuggets to win the Western Conference at 7-1 and plus 950, both on DK to win the division, are either good bets based on your free agency discussion from yesterday? Not sure if it was 7-1 or plus 950, but he's got both numbers there.
Yeah, I mean, I actually responded to him. I like the Nuggets. I just think, like we always talk about, I don't think it's worth tying your money right now on that bet, where throughout the course of the NBA season, you will likely be able to get a very similar number, if not better, on the Nuggets to in both of those markets. So I just, no need to fire now. Plus, if you've been watching the past 2 days, like these teams are rapidly changing every single day. So not something I would get involved in now. Just on face value, do I hate the number attached to the Nuggets right now? No, I don't. I think if there was one Western Conference bet, it's probably the one I would make. But now, I don't think there's, timing-wise, no reason to make it now.
Evan Klein, UIGEA, the death of online poker. Yes, it was back in 2006. Charles in Connecticut, Hoop Homer, fantastic explanation on the Big Beautiful Bill issue. Much better job than I did in my message to you. Phantom income is a great way to refer to it. Thanks for covering it. Charles, you and 5,000 others. Well, maybe I'm exaggerating 5,000, but so many people tweeting about that yesterday. Nate King, I'm thinking about the impact of arb betting and scalps with this tax deal. Make your head explode. Ice Cold Gambler. Well, the big, beautiful offshore book is just looking better and better. Nothing like cash in an envelope. LOL. He's right. That's the.
It's another thing.
That's exactly
we keep
what it
up.
Will yep. produce. Yep. Right. That's exactly what where folks will go.
Legalize gambling and want to keep pushing them to illegal.
Because this just in, ladies and gentlemen, it might not be the oldest profession in the world. I think we know what that is. But people are going to gamble. No matter what. It's part of our human nature. It's part of the human condition. People will find a way. And if it has to be offshore, oh, well, then it is. Minky Monkey Man.
Gil- What's the oldest, Gil?
I don't know. I'm going to look that up. Google that. Let me know if you know. Minky Monkey Man. Gil, great stuff on. I'll ask Delicious over at the. Gil, great stuff on gambling tax component in the bill. Curious if anyone in Vegas has been lobbying Congress to make sure this doesn't get included or if it just slipped in quietly. Great show as always. It really did slip in quietly, yeah. Which is the same way that it happened in 2006. And no one could really rally anything because it's being voted on today, right mm-hmm. out of the chute. So it's real quick. We'll get to more, but I want to get to Will Hill, who's kind enough to join us this morning at Not The Will Hill on Twitter, the host of his own podcast, Shoulda Bet More, and also, of course, star of Chris Felica's Bear Bets Pod and the Megapod, coming to a podcast feed near you soon when football season starts. How you doing, Willie?
Gilly, what's going on? Yeah, well, a couple months. It won't be that long before Todd Wishnev is giving play-by-play and all of his other antics, and I'm excited for it.
I'm excited for it.
Todd should produce a deep trailer for this. We should have like a 2-minute trailer leading up to the new season of the Megapod.
You know what? That's a fantastic idea.
That's what
actually.
I do. I'm an idea man.
Producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Willie, what you got in Major League Baseball today? Let's start there.
Played a few things. Played over 9 in this Tampa A's game. And, boy, we do have a lot of baseball today. 18 games here with all the rainouts yesterday. We got, I think, 3 doubleheaders, so it should be a lot of fun. But over 9, Tampa and the A's. I like both those lineups. Minor league ballpark. I think we should see some runs there. And then I played under 4.5 first 5. Cardinals and Pirates. Sonny Gray against Keller. Two pitchers I like more than I don't, and two lineups that can be a little shaky. Pirates had that outburst against the Mets where they beat them with 30-4 in the sweep, but still not a good lineup. They went back to not scoring for Skeens last night, and I think Gray can do a good job against them. So I like that under 4.5 in the first 5, a little juice with that, but minus 130 or so I'm okay with. And also under 4.5 first 5, Cubs and Guardians. Imanaga against Bybee, two more pitchers I like. Imanaga, a lefty going against a Cleveland lineup that just can't hit lefties at all. So that's another under 4.5 in the first 5. And Yankees money line, full game.
Yeah.
Barrios going against the Yanks. He struggled against this Yankee lineup in the past. Warren is a guy with much better splits against righties than lefties. Toronto with a bunch of righties. So Yankees coming off a couple of just awful, ugly, really rough-looking losses here. I do think they bounce back here. I think there's a pretty cheap, reasonable price here for the Yankees. So those 4 is what I have so far in Major League Baseball.
This is it. The Giants, I'll just co-sign on that with the Giants in terms of just ugly baseball. It sometimes happens before an all-star break, right? Some teams just crater. And it's looking that way for the Giants, too. By the way, thank you, Major League Baseball. We have a bunch of day games today, including, by the way, one that starts 10 minutes after this show is done, 12:10 Eastern, 9:10 Pacific, at Tampa Bay, the Athletics and the Rays. Give me the Will Hill sort of long-term baseball outlying viewpoint, maybe on a certain team that you're more bullish on than the market, maybe you're more bearish on. What's a Will Hill big picture thought?
I would say there's no great team in baseball. The Dodgers are probably still the best team by process elimination, and they just have the abundance of resources in the lineup that just is relentless. But with the state of their pitching, I just don't think you can call them a great team. They're not infallible. They nearly lost last year. They were down 2-1 in San Diego with throwing a bullpen game in game 4 on the road against Cease. So I'm sure they'll be in the mix here at the end, and they're obviously really good. But I just think the American League, nowhere near as good as the National League. Here's one for you. I think the NL Central might turn out to be what we all thought the NL West was going to be in terms of this gauntlet with all of these good teams beating each other up. If you look at the NL Central, it's actually turned out to be a really good division. Now, I never trust these AL or NL Central teams once you get to the playoffs. It feels like all these teams in the Central's crater, but the Central is shaping up to be a lot of fun with the Reds finally coming to life a little bit here. The Cardinals have overachieved. The Brewers always seem to overachieve. The Brewers are like the Rays. They just always seem to do more with less, regardless of who they have, who they've lost, what you think of them. You always look up and they're 86, 88 wins somehow. And then the Cubs at the top are still a really good team. So I think the NL Central is a little bit like what we thought the NL West was going to be.
That's a good call. NL Central over NL is turning out to be what we thought the NL West would be. It's a good call because both the Padres and the Giants and even the Diamondbacks, maybe the Diamondbacks because of injuries, all seem to have not been, at least the first half of the season, the clubs we thought they would be. By the way, Randall Grichuk, homer, double last night. Nice job, friend of the show. Let's go to football. Were you part of the guide, Will? If you were, if you weren't, can you share with us a couple of your favorite season-long football plays?
I was part of the guide. And one of the perks of being part of the guide is you go in a little spreadsheet and you enter your picks and you get to read everybody else's stuff. And I will say, just as a quick aside, if you haven't gotten, if you're on the fence about getting it, nobody's going to order this and say, man, I wish I didn't get it. It's really good. It's really well worth it. There's a lot of picks, comprehensive analysis. It really helps you get ready for football season. I'll throw one on. I might have talked about this on other shows. I don't think I've talked about it with you. Steelers plus 330 to lose in the wild card round. I think this is somewhat self-explanatory where this has happened 4 out of the last 5 years, and they just have enough in terms of defense, in terms of culture, to grind their way to 9-10 wins somehow, but not win the division. And when you don't win the division, you get a road game. And when you get a road game, that usually means you're playing one of the big boys, whether it's Josh Allen or Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, who, you know, not, coincidentally or not coincidentally, those are the last three playoff opponents they faced, their last three playoff exits here. So I just think they have enough to wiggle their way into the playoffs like they usually do, and they're probably going to get bounced because they probably won't be a division winner with home field. So, again, this is cash 4 out of the last 5. You're getting a nice plus 330. So, yeah, look, I've made the mistake in past years of trying to, all right, this is the year he goes under. This is the year they don't go 500. You know what? If you can't beat them, join them. I'm just going to say they sneak their way into the playoffs once again, but I'll take the plus 330 payout that they make it but get eliminated in the wild card round.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, the Steelers are clearly all in, right? And that's the other thing about the guide. So the guide, we put all our predictions out in June. I had a Broncos to make the playoffs bet, which I made. And one of the things I said was like, who's knocking them out? And then right after that, it's as if the Steelers were like, oh, I'll show you who's going to knock them out. Here you go. This is what we're about to do. So there's some of that, too, in the guide, and we'll see what manifests. Because if the Broncos do get there and the Steelers don't, I'll be like, see, told you so. Even in the guide, before all the Steelers moves, that ended up being correct. But we'll talk AFC West here on the other side of the break. Will, appreciate it as always. Good luck with baseball. I'm sure we'll be group texting today, sir.
All right, Keely, appreciate you guys. Thanks.
At not the Will Hill, by the way. Two E's on the V.
That's right. The Will
Hill. The Will Hill. We'll come back. AFC West. Let's talk about it. Chiefs, Broncos, Chargers, Raiders. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you are serious about winning this football season, the VSiN NFL betting guide is your first real edge, and it is available now. It's packed with in-depth previews of all 32 teams, season win total breakdowns, best bets from trusted VSiN experts, player props and betting projections, everything you need to bet smarter all season long. Lock in our football special for just $175. Get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl, including every betting guide, daily best bet emails, 24/7 video, and all the data and tools on VSiN.com. The early bird pricing expires July 31st, though, so don't wait. Sign up today. Get your copy of the NFL Season Betting Guide at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. And as Will Hill said earlier, no one will get this and be disappointed by the thoroughness of this NFL Betting Guide Pro Edition, which was done so expertly by Zach Cohen, Adam Burke, and crew. Really, it is a fine piece of, let's put it this way. Have you seen these other, you know, these other traditional betting guides that you get from the guy that rhymes with Bill Feel, right? Like those college football ones, right? This is so much better than those. I don't know. I was just thinking. This is a tremendous betting guide. And again, get it before the early bird expires July 31st. Want to give Greg Peterson's baseball plays because we had some technical difficulties. He wasn't able to give them. Or Ben Wilson rudely interrupting his segment by just showing up in the middle of Greg Peterson. It wasn't enough for Ben to have his entire family on the country club in promo. He had to interrupt Greg Peterson. So here are Greg Peterson's plays, by the way, in case you're wondering, for a full slate of Major League Baseball. 18 full games. As he mentioned, he's on the Brewers, the Mizorowski game. So that's game 2 of the Brewers doubleheader. Let's be clear about that. Don't bet game 1. Greg is on game 2 of the Brewers doubleheader today. He is on the Blue Jays, as he mentioned when he was on air with us. That is a play as well. He kind of got that out before he was interrupted. He is on game one of the Phillies doubleheader. He's on the Phillies. That's the Abel game, the game that Abel is pitching for the Phillies. Game one of the Phillies doubleheader. Then he's on St. Louis. He's on the Cardinals money line today. And he has one total. He's over nine runs in the A's-Rays game. And the A's-Rays game starts in less than 40 minutes. So there you go. Five plays entirely.
And we had Will on that over as well.
Yes, both of them on the over. And that is not a Sacktown game. That is a Tampa Bay game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be interesting if it was a Sacktown game played at 9:10 in the morning. Okay, speaking of Ben Wilson, ladies and gentlemen, this is when he was originally scheduled for. And, well, we decided we'd stick to that. Ben Wilson joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter. He's got one of the jankiest Twitter handles there ever has been. It's you ready for this? It's Ben_Wilson_1. There you go, Benny. How you doing, man?
I'm great. I now have a great new idea here that Kelly just gave me, which is I'm going to start, calling up producers, giving them a little $5 on the side and be like, hey, can I get your guys' guests, video link so I can come and hijack the mid-segment? I think that's kind of like my new calling, maybe.
That'd be your new brand, just interrupting other guests. How's your Wimbledon going so far, first couple days?
Yeah, it's been obviously with all the upsets, been pretty chaotic. I'm around even so far. The one that really stung yesterday, I go on Money Moves with our friend Stormy and Ariel, and I'm waxing poetic about how much I love Diana Yastremska, just like, as a player to keep the match tight against Coco Gauff. And what do? I'm like, oh, bet over 20 and a half games and thinking, oh, what an easy tie, what easy win after the first set tiebreak. And of course, Gauff just goes completely in the tank, and we lose that by a half game. Not too bitter about that, though. Beside that, I've been pretty solid here. Got Marketa Vondrousova coming up to round out a leg parlay here in a little bit. So, feeling good, and I feel like the biggest thing with these first two rounds, first couple of days, whenever it's a tournament like Wimbledon where you get so many upsets, it's just trying to avoid the landmines. And I feel like so far there are a lot of players that had, you could make a lot of cases for players with red flags coming in. And for me, it was like, all right, let's just try to not go too heavy, quarters, futures wise, stay away from some of these players who maybe are ripe for an upset early. And at least I feel good that I didn't just sink a lot of dead money into some of these guys early who were one and done.
I agree with that. Even if the matches have been choppy at best, and I'm spinning that good here the first couple days, I agree with you on that. Like, Tennis Hardos knew the red flags, and by and large, we've managed to avoid those so far. We'll see how it goes moving forward. Do you have any matches left today that have yet to start?
Just one for me. And, Vondrousova, minus 200 against Emma Raducanu. Like, I don't mind if you wanted to go ahead and play that individually, if you want to tie that into something maybe tomorrow now that the lines are out. I mean, I thought that was a bit of a cheap price. You're certainly having the tax with the popular Brit Raducanu, who beat Vondrousova in their only previous Wimbledon meeting, but that was 4 years ago, and we've seen how much different a player Vondrousova is on the surface. So I really like that matchup for Marketa, even though the crowd will be against her. And then on the men's side, I did take the game handicap. Gabriel Diallo, who's really had just a breakout 2025 here against Taylor Fritz. I'm kind of in fade Fritz mode in this quarter. We'll talk about in a second. I did play Davidovich Fokina, who even when I updated it this morning, he's still plus 750. Even after Zverev was eliminated, I got the plus 800 after before Zverev went down yesterday. So I look at Diallo as a guy. I didn't want to bet him outright on the money line, just because he's had a lot of, he's kind of been a tiebreaker luck box so far. I think he's 5-0 in tiebreakers in grass season, but one of the top five servers on this surface. And it was a situation for Fritz. We saw how much he struggled with another great server in Petri Perricard in the first round. Needed a pretty fortunate comeback in the tiebreak, down 6-2 in the fourth set to even get that to five. So I do like Diallo to keep this really tight. That two guys in the top five and serve percentage one over the last 52 weeks on grass, as much as we kind of throw out the small sample size of this surface, Gil, but feels like one of these matches that goes at least four. We're probably going to get two, maybe three tie breaks. So with it being very narrow in that way, I could easily see this being Fritz in four or in five, but I've still a game handicap cover there for Diallo.
Yeah, you and Drew both on Davidovich Fokina, I think, in Q3, which now, of course, wide open with no Medvedev and no Zverev. And Diallo, you're absolutely right. You know, some folks might be like, wait, didn't Fritz play yesterday? Yeah, that Fritz-Pecci-Pericard match started on Monday, concluded with the fifth set yesterday. So everybody who had a suspended match that went into yesterday, they have to turn and won. They have to turn right around and play today. So that's a bit of a disadvantage there as well. You're shaking your head. Yeah.
Yes. Major disadvantage, Gil.
Yeah.
That's all he knows.
Maybe that's not what he was shaking his head about.
Definitely not communicating with Larry in the back.
I was like, wow, Kelly seems to be really bothered by that back to back. Last few minutes here, Ben. I don't know if you have anything else in tennis, but I wanted to transition. If you do, please share. I wanted to transition to football. Also, I wanted to get a Ben Wilson sort of season long bet of sorts in the NFL that you really like.
Wow. Okay. We're going into football. I don't have anything left for the tennis. I thought Kelly was just like hearkening back to, you know, some match at like the Boca Juniors as a U10 where he had to play back to back days.
Right. Oh, come on.
Anything like that? I don't know.
At the Chris Everett Tennis Academy down there. No, I was not good enough to make it down there. No, was not.
Tough one. Boca Juniors.
I just chose to drink after the Delray Beach Open. That was a good time. Always a good time.
Anything football wise, Ben?
I wish I was there for that. I first off, if Jacob Mizorowski decided to join the Milwaukee Bucks or the Green Bay Packers, I think he would be an extremely extremely productive guy there because of how amazing that guy has been. So I agree with Greg. I would look to bet Mizorowski here today against the Mets. That is baseball. For football, look, you know, in the NFC North, I was on Minnesota last year, just kind of thinking like, because Kevin O'Connell, and I didn't bet them to win. I didn't have some of the long shot prices some of our friends and colleagues had to win the division. Just took them, you know, games over. And that's my strategy again this year, where I continue to be a little surprised that the betting markets just don't give Kevin O'Connell the respect as just, you know, like a coach to produce such a repeatable system, no matter the quarterback. You go back to 2023 when they had that concoction of four essentially third string quarterbacks post Kirk Cousins injury. That collection of guys who should not have been on an NFL field combined to rank 16th in EPA out of the equivalent 32 starting quarterback teams. So then you bring in Sam Darnold. Obviously, we saw what the results were. I don't expect them to win 13 games this year. However, that to me is still enough to say, okay, with the roster they have around J.J. McCarthy at quarterback, with the defense that figures to be solid again, that's a division I feel like that'll really harken back to the early 90s, the old black and blue division of the NFC Central. But it's a team that figures to be kind of mispriced simply because of the lack of experience at quarterback. And that was the one thing that jumped out to me in that division, where you certainly see everybody being very competitive with each other. But that O'Connell piece of it is just a little still undervalued to me, even as we sit after a couple incredible seasons by him as we go into 2025.
Yeah, Vikings depth chart at quarterback. J.J. McCarthy, Sam Howell, formerly of the Skins and the Seahawks.
Sure, who can forget those years?
Great moments. And Brett Rippon, 1-2-3. I hope J.J. McCarthy's good for Vikings backers. Lions win total 10.5 in the NFC North. Packers and Vikings both 9.5. Bears 8.5 in the best division top to bottom according to the betting markets. Ben, appreciate it as always. Good luck with all the tennis matches today, man.
You know it. Great to see you guys. Appreciate it.
Ben Wilson, everybody. That man is going to be huge one day. One day soon. Great play-by-play announcer, by the way. We'll come back. We'll recap all the bets. That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.